Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I received an email yesterday from a member I served when I was pastor way up in that faraway city none of us like to go to except when we have to, Knoxville. In the email was this little summary of life. It says, great truths that little children have learned. I'll share three of them with you. Number one, no matter how hard you try, you can't baptize cats. Number two, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Number three, if your sister hits you, don't hit her back. They always catch the second person. It had seven more. Then it had great truths that adults have learned. I'll share with you three of the best ones. Number one, raising teenagers is like nailing jelly to a tree. Number three, families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts. And number six, middle age is when you choose your cereal for the fiber, not the toy. Finally, all of this was followed up with the four stages of life. You may have heard these before. Number one, you believe in Santa Claus. Number two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Number three, you are Santa Claus. Number four, you look like Santa Claus. Now, I'm sure these truths, which men have discovered, may be worthy of a laugh, but they are not worthy to be called a summary of life, even though it did mention baptism. So what would be a good summary of life? What's your source, your story? How do you make sense of your origin and your destiny? Does it have to do with what you learn as a child and not baptizing cats? Or does it come from what you learn about the baptism of a man named Jesus? Over Christmas break, my family and I rewatched an old movie way, way back in 2011, Despicable Me. It was a good movie, in part because the clearly despicable and yet likable villain named Gru becomes, through the course of the events of the movie, less despicable. Indeed, he becomes a loving, caring father of three little orphan girls whom he acquired for evil purposes. But their childhood innocence and joys and summary of life slowly changed Gru, and his outlook, the villain, becomes a hero dad. It's also a good movie in my despicable mind because one of the little funniest moments in the movie, when Gru saw how the little orphan girls could easily get inside Vector's fortress, and he's his arch enemy. So Gru has this despicable idea, and he wants to exploit the little girls in order to get the shrink ray. And when the little girls, as he sees, come and sell little cookies and they are invited in, he, in his thick Siberian accent, says, "Light bulb." Gru was having an epiphany. We just began the season of Epiphany this past Wednesday, January 6th. Started with the visit of the wise men to Jesus. A star above Jerusalem, above Bethlehem, was that light bulb moment to the Gentiles, who, coupled with their knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures, traveled from afar, perhaps Babylon, perhaps Persia, perhaps Yemen, to the Holy Land to worship and bring gifts to this newborn king. But Epiphany is not just a day, it's a season, appropriately so, for there are many light bulb moments in Scripture where men and women lost in darkness see the great light of God's own doing around them. They suddenly realize that there is more to life, more to God's character of grace, and more than what a meager existence of natural man trapped in time can realize all by oneself. Epiphanies are our light bulb moments about the meaning of life, the where we come from, the who we are in relationship to God, the where we're going after this life. these revealings to our hearts and our minds become clear and comforting to us of the truth of what God is revealing in His ways and timing, which is greater than our own. Today in the text we learn in time that the baptism of Jesus is a truly great epiphany. At Jesus' baptism, things occur by God's own doing to reveal that Jesus is not just another sinner who is coming to be baptized by John in the Jordan. This man, identified by John the Baptist as the mightier one, the sinless one, comes to be baptized by John. All eyes are fixed on this great epiphany. Three things are supernaturally revealed here about God and life. First, the heavens were opened. This is a sign, a confirmation that heaven is real. God is there, and He is sending down something to bring us back into a good relationship with Him. Secondly, what comes down from the opened heavens? The Holy Spirit. It says in the text, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form like a dove. The same hidden Spirit who filled the prophets and the people of God in the Old Testament is here revealed in a semi-visible way in bodily form, descending on Jesus like a dove when He comes up out of the water. Spirit and water, you recall, are present and mentioned in the first 1, 2, 3 verses of the Bible in the book of Genesis, in the account of the creation, when the Ruach Yahweh, the Spirit of God, hovers over the Shemim, the face of the Shemim, the face of the waters. So this vision puts Jesus in the spotlight as someone who has a role in the work of creation, the work God did in creating the world, and now, as we know from Scripture, the work of re-creating the world. All who believe in His work on the cross and by the open tomb. Finally, the third part of the epiphany of Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven. A voice is heard from the opened heavens, the Father's voice. It says, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What's amazing about this is that we realize here that the baptism of Jesus is not just for us, but it is for Jesus. Notice how in another gospel that records the same event, you hear, "This is my beloved Son," as if everyone around should know. But in this case, in Luke's gospel today, we heard, "You are my beloved Son." This spoken "you" reveals God's love directly to Jesus. He indeed is one with God. But there's a relationship in this Godhead that is different than what we might think. For if He was telling Himself, "You are my beloved Son," and if He was telling, "I love you," to myself, that's a little weird. But as it is, there's a second person here, isn't there? A first person, God the Father, a second person, God the Son, and a third person, God the Holy Spirit. He's assuring and comforting the second person, who is both God and man, of the comforting truth that God the Father is real and that He loves His Son, His beloved. "You are my beloved Son. You, Jesus." Deep down, we all need this kind of epiphany. If I introduced my wife today as my first wife, she would have every right to have raised eyebrows. But if I introduced her as my one and only, my beloved, then she would be comforted and confirmed in the fact of our relationship. We are not nobodies, a number, a first, a second, or third child, a first, or second, or a fifth husband. We're not a commodity or a burden. We are created beings with personhood who have a deeply personal and committed relationship to our parents, our spouses, and our children, and to our God. The latter relationship to God is very much revealed to us in our baptism. We are to hear this truth from the first person singular voice of God. Remember, in this word and this water, God declares to you, "You are my son. You are my daughter, my beloved. I value you. You are beloved because of Jesus' perfect life, death on the cross, and the resurrection for you. You now, in baptism, have a perfect record in God's sight. Spotless, sinless, just like Jesus. Perfect in every way. Remember your baptism. Remember these words that we heard in the scripture today about you." In the epistle, we have supporting words, too, that remind us of this. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, so too you will rise again from the dead to the glory of the Father and will walk in the newness of life." You, of course, know that he didn't need to be baptized. Jesus had no sin to wash away, but he, our Lord and our friend, joined us in the water, took upon himself our sin, and in exchange gave us a great gift, his innocence. He soaked up all of our sins, past, present, and future, and took them with him to the cross, dying that we might live perfect and holy in righteousness and purity forever. In other words, beloved, well pleased. Yes, the baptism of Jesus we heard today is a light bulb moment for Jesus and for us. See how the heavens are opened to Jesus in the water. See how the Holy Spirit descended on him, upon Jesus, the Holy One. Hear how the Father's voice comforts and assures the one being baptized that he is the Father and is well pleased. That the one being baptized is precious to him, family to him, with Jesus, God is well pleased with all humankind. Jesus' baptism is indeed truly a great epiphany for Jesus and for us who believe. His baptism serves a better summary of life than what we ever heard before. It's a light bulb moment for our otherwise despicable minds to find comfort and meaning in this life. A God who found it worthy to reveal his Son as Savior, knowing fully that God, through Jesus, is well pleased with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.